Today, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
We'll start in 3, 2, 1.
Much like Noah's five iron, Steelers training camp is now in full swing. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of All Steelers Talk. I am Donnie Druin, joined weekly by my co-host, Noah Strackbine. Noah, there is plenty, and I mean plenty, of Steelers information to discuss and dive into. Potential extensions, a long list of injury reports, wristbands are making headlines at Steelers training camp now. It's been a wild first week, but we are undoubtedly, happy to be back. And first and foremost, we got to talk about everybody's beloved rookie center, Kendrick Green, misses a personal day on Saturday. We know that B.J. Finney sustained this minor injury. We know J.C. Hasenauer sustained an injury as well. They had to shift a tackle to center at the end of the practice. Is that correct?
Yeah. So at one point, John LeGlue was the Steelers' starting center, which was concerning. Anthony Coyle also made his way in there. And this early, it's nothing to be too concerned about. What is concerning is that J.C. Hasenauer came back on Sunday with a big knee brace, a bulky knee brace. Looked like the one that Juju Smith-Schuster wore in 2019, the same year that he had the MCL strain. So you wonder if he's going to be out for a couple weeks. At this point, I would chalk it up to chances are pretty low. He plays in the Hall of Fame game, which is only better for Kendrick Green, but at the same time, you would have liked to see J.C. Hasenauer in there as well. Overall, it's not super concerning at this point, especially because Green just missed practice for personal issues. He came back the next day after going to Florida. So the Steelers center position should be fine. And right now, for whoever has faith in guys like LeGlue and Anthony Coyle, maybe they're the answer for a big time backup.
Now, I don't want to read too much into it, and we were just talking about this before we hit record. But the Steelers' first depth chart did come out, and Kendrick Green was confirmed by Mike Tomlin to be in the Hall of Fame games, the opening center for the Steelers' offensive line. Are we making a big deal out of this? Do you think this is a step in the positive direction for Kendrick Green? What are your thoughts on it?
I do. I think that right now that's the best option. I think that if Ben, who will likely play in the Hall of Fame game at least a series or two, is going to be out there, you want Kendrick Green to be the guy, and you also want Kendrick Green to get those opportunities. Right now, your best bet long-term is Kendrick Green. Yes, you want to think short-term, but 2 years, 3 years from now, you want Green to be your long-term center. So you want him to get that experience, and you want him to get that experience with a guy like Ben Roethlisberger. In the Hall of Fame game, that's great. It's still real early in training camp to say that Green still knows all the motions and can control an offensive line as well as he's going to need to in a game-like situation. But for right now, it's a positive for the Steelers. It's something that you should have happen, and I think Mike Tomlin knows that, and that's why Kendrick Green's out there. Even if J.C. Hasenauer is the guy that probably is the most reliable at the position right now.
Yeah, and I don't want to make too much of a big deal out of it because, granted, it is only 1 week of the preseason. The Steelers do have four games this year. It's, compared to everybody else, just three. But I think to have Kendrick Green, one, show up to training camp and be able to slide into that, number one center role immediately, for him to be making all of the pre-snap adjustments and calls and all of that stuff, that's a big deal. Mike Tomlin isn't very keen on throwing guys to the fire right away. So for Green to kind of get that nod ahead of two very experienced guys like J.C. Hasenauer, like B.J. Finney, even though, we both kind of agree, Finney's kind of sliding into that swing guard role.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. But still, B.J. Finney does have experience playing center. I think that speaks volumes to Kendrick Green and what the fans believe in him, what the team believes in him well. So I also think, that's very nice as well. Noah, you're at training camp. I'm across the entire country right now. You're chatting it up with big heads like Albert Breer, so props to you. The nickelback corner position has been heavily debated, you know, as to who should slide in there. Earlier in the offseason, we thought it was Cam Sutton. People said Justin Lane, and then that kind of got shut down, hopefully by us. I think we did a good job of stopping that before that gained any traction.
Oh, yeah.
Antoine Brooks versus Arthur Mullett, it's been the battle to watch. And, you know, I've heard things from both sides. You know, I've heard some people say that Brooks has looked superior so far. I've heard people say that Mullett has looked superior so far. Noah, you're there and in the flesh. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing a lot. Honestly, Antoine Brooks is making good plays. I thought Arthur Mullett coming into training camp was the guy that made more plays in minicamp and more plays in OTAs. He has the experience, obviously, but, you know, it's not great experience. At this point, I'd say it's still wide open. What's concerning is that Antoine Brooks Jr. left on Sunday with an injury. Mike Tomlin said that's day-to-day and that's nothing serious, but that's what he said about J.C. Hasenauer, and next thing you know, Hasenauer is coming out in a big brace. So I don't know how long Brooks is going to be out for, but that's definitely going to decide who gets early reps at nickelback. Right now, Brooks is the determined starter for the Hall of Fame game. That could go either way. And truthfully, I think it right now, both of them are neck and neck. It's just like the punting position. Right now, you know, Antoine Brooks and Mullett are both options. Neither of them are great options. And one of them have to make a major step forward before the Steelers are comfortable with it and anybody else should be comfortable with it.
And that's the thing I like about training camp. Nothing is solidified. And, you know, this is why we have training camp. This is why we have preseason, to figure these kinds of things out. You know, you mm-hmm. don't have to set one depth chart and then roll with it for the rest of the season. If you put Antoine Brooks as a starting slot corner and he's not performing great and Arthur Mullett is performing better than him, you can change that. You know, this yep. is the time of year where you're going to see coaches, you know, experiment with that kind of stuff. So, granted, I don't think anybody not named Mike Hilton playing that role for the Steelers in 2021 isn't going to live up to expectations. That's kind of the unfortunate truth to it. But I feel like once we actually get a taste of either of these guys playing the role, which I definitely think we will. I think we'll see Brooks start a game in the preseason. I think we'll see Mullett start a game in the preseason. We'll have a much better idea of what to expect from either of them, or both of them, excuse me, heading into 2021.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that at the same time, if neither of them work out, there are options. You know, people were a little concerned about missing out on Malik Hooker, but the reason the Steelers did not sign Malik Hooker is because they have so much faith in Trey Norwood and what he's capable of doing. The problem is that Trey Norwood might be 140 pounds, and the Steelers need to see if he can tackle an NFL player before they're saying, okay, you could be on the field. But Mike Tomlin and Keith Butler were both very open about how Norwood is an option at the nickelback position. But right now he's learning the safety and trying to just adjust into that Cam Sutton role where he'll probably play dimebacker, he'll probably play the whole nine. And if he can tackle, if he can play well in a physical game, then the Steelers are just as likely to put him at the nickel as they are Cam Sutton, as they are Antoine Brooks, and as they are Arthur Mullett.
See, Norwood is lanky, too. That's what a lot of people yeah. seem to like about him. You definitely, throughout the NFL, you'll see a lot of these slot corners as, like, quote-unquote undersized guys, but Norwood's mm-hmm. really got some length to him. So I think that can pay big dividends if he's able to keep up and, you know, tackle those guys at the slot receiver position. And I think Norwood might be on the same trajectory as Antoine Brooks. I mean, look at Antoine Brooks Jr. last year. He didn't get a whole ton of playing time. He was kind of reserved to only special teams. The Steelers undoubtedly like to take their time in developing those guys. So either for Brooks or Norwood, I don't think there's any rush on the defensive side of the ball to, you know, get those guys going in from day one.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that either one of them could end up on the practice squad, neither one of them could end up in the starting lineup. At this point, it's still an open game, and that's because pads haven't come on. So it's really no different than minicamp. It's no different than OTAs. All we've seen is that the Steelers are back. They're learning more plays and who looks good for the third phase, because there's always camp heroes, but some of those camp heroes start to die off as we move deeper into the offseason. Trey Norwood right now is definitely a camp hero.
Camp hero indeed. And shout out to everybody who has given us a bunch of positive remarks on the podcast before we move on to our next topic. Greatly appreciate the kind words. Thank you guys so much. Go and give us a follow on Twitter at SI_Steelers. big shouts out to our YouTube channel. Go follow us on YouTube, All Steelers Talk. Big things are happening over there. Give us a like on Facebook, All Steelers on Sports Illustrated. You'll find us everywhere. And I'm surprised we're not in this cabinet right next to me right now, to be honest. So thank you guys once again for all the support. We greatly appreciate it. Moving on, the Steelers did sign Melvin Ingram to a one-year, $4 million contract last week. You know, there's been a lot of debate between who's going to take over that opposite edge rusher role of TJ Watt. And I think Melvin Ingram had some really nice things to say about Alex Highsmith and vice versa. No, I think you have a video ready for us.
Yes, I do.
Alex, what were your thoughts when Steve brought in Melvin?
Oh, it was awesome. You know, so far, you know, Melvin's been great for us here. You know, he's been a guy that, you know, been able to ask questions, you know, be able to learn from him. You know, he's a veteran Pro Bowl guy, you know, for us. You know, all of us were excited, you know, we're proud of him. So he's going to be a great addition, you know, for our outside back room. So I'm really excited, you know, for the matchups we're going to have this year. So he's been great so far, you know, works well, he's got a lot of knowledge. So I'm excited to just see him work out.
TJ was telling us the other day that all he really knows is he's going to be on that left side. I mean, how do you envision the rotation working out between you three?
I just know it's going to be a good one. You know, yeah, right.
Yeah, Alex Highsmith obviously had some good things, but I didn't expect anything less. And Melvin Ingram, to be honest, was the same way, but that one shocked me a little bit more than anybody else, just because Melvin Ingram is a veteran who could clearly come in here and use that veteran card and say, hey, I'm a Pro Bowler. I'm a three-time Pro Bowler. Put me in the starting lineup and I'm going to do good things. I always do good things on the field. And it's true, but he didn't. He kept saying 5-6 is special. Alex Highsmith is special. And I think that goes a long way because the Steelers at this point are going to utilize all three just like they utilized all three last season. The difference will be no Bud Dupree. It's either Alex Highsmith or Melvin Ingram. And truthfully, a second-year Alex Highsmith and a three-time Pro Bowler Melvin Ingram might be a better duo on one side opposite of TJ Watt than Alex Highsmith and Bud Dupree were.
I think so, too. And, yeah, but before we even talk about the play on the field, can I say Alex Highsmith looks jacked? I don't know what he did in the offseason, but get me on that routine immediately.
That's what I'm saying. When we finally lined up for him, because it was the first time we've been that close since he's been drafted, that was the first thing I thought. I thought there's no way Alex Highsmith was this big last season. He's skinny but ginormous, which is – it's just great. That's some TJ Watt body structure right there, and that's what they need.
Hashtag all natural is all I gotta say about that. But no, I think both of those guys are in different positions in their career. You know, I think Melvin Ingram coming to the Steelers on a one-year deal. Obviously, I'm not sure he wants to end his career in Pittsburgh, you know, especially with Alex Highsmith being there. I think Ingram's here to prove to himself and the rest of the NFL that he can, one, stay healthy for an entire year, and two, produce whenever he is healthy. And I think coming to a defense such as the Steelers will afford them that opportunity, whether or not he's officially the quote-unquote starter. You know, I think you hit on it perfectly. The Steelers will use all three guys, whether it's Ingram being the starter, whether it's Ingram, you know, filling in for Alex Highsmith, whether it's Ingram giving TJ Watt a breather. You know, they're definitely all going to be used. And then you look at a guy like Alex Highsmith, he's going into his, you know, second year, and it looks like he's going to be the full-time starter for, you know, this year. You don't want all the pressure on him. You want Melvin Ingram, a reliable veteran, to come in and give him a little bit of breathing room, giving him a little bit of tips here and there. I think it's a win-win situation for the Steelers, and to see both of those guys complement each other like that, phenomenal to see. And I think a lot of us forget, yeah, these guys are competitors down to the bone, and obviously each of those guys would like to be starters at the end of the day, because who doesn't, you know, who doesn't want to go out, play the game of football that they love, make a lot of money doing it, and be extremely good at it. But this is a team atmosphere. You know, both of those guys understand the goal is a common shared theme for the team, and that's to reach Super Bowl. And, you know, I think Melvin Ingram to do his part, and I think Alex Highsmith can also do his part to help the team get there.
Yeah, and I think whoever starts and doesn't start is going to be totally fine, but I think that's just because no matter what, the Steelers are going to utilize all three, like we keep saying. You hit the nail right on the head when it comes to Melvin Ingram being that veteran guy who's at a different point in his career. Melvin Ingram could come in here, make $4 million, have a 5-sack season working behind TJ and Alex Highsmith, go into next offseason and make more money because he's proven that not only is he a reliable outside linebacker, but he's a reliable backup and he plays well off the bench, which is just as difficult to do. I mean, when you're coming in, it's not like you're an inside linebacker who's barely going to play. TJ Watt goes 130% every single snap. He needs breaks. Alex Highsmith goes 110% every snap. He needs breaks. So you're going to get those 25 to 30 snaps a game when you're a guy like Melvin Ingram, and I expect him to even get more than that because the Steelers are going to try to utilize him. He also does really well rushing in different gaps. He rushes the A and the B gap, and that's going to go a long way because then the Steelers can use all three of them, just like they did Bud Dupree, TJ Watt, and Alex Highsmith last season. Only this year, Melvin Ingram, I think, is a better rusher inside than Bud Dupree was, and that's going to help a lot.
Most definitely, yeah. You know, big shout-out to Bud Dupree, who actually got on the pup list. I don't know if you saw that a couple of days
ago. No, I did not.
Yeah. So he got put on that list. Hopefully he's off that soon. But at the end of the day, I think a little bit earlier that you touched on it, I think a duo of Melvin Ingram and second-year Alex Highsmith, who looks to be much improved, will probably be a better duo altogether than Bud Dupree and a rookie Alex Highsmith. I don't think that's crazy to say, but you know, given what Ingram has already accomplished and given what Alex Highsmith can accomplish, both of those guys at the same position is chef's kiss.
Exactly. I think Alex Highsmith could be a Pro Bowler this season. I've thought that all offseason. Melvin Ingram, I think, is the perfect addition. I mean, everybody wanted Justin Houston. Justin Houston didn't make any sense in Pittsburgh because Justin Houston is still a starter who has a starter mentality. Melvin Ingram is a proven veteran who knows he's 32 years old, who knows he still has a ton in the tank and just wants to prove that. So all he's coming to do is play his role on this defense, and the Steelers are going to assure him that they have a role for him. I don't know. I think it was the perfect move, and I think it gives Alex Highsmith a little like edge. Hey, nothing's handed here. Go win the job. But really, it's Alex Highsmith's job to lose, and I don't think he's going to lose it.
See, that's what I really like about it too. You know, obviously Bud Dupree leaves and everybody looks at Alex Highsmith like, hey man, like it's your time. And then the Steelers are more than happy to bring in a very capable veteran kind of saying, mm-hmm. Hey, you should probably work for the spot, man. You know, it's just saying, we've got somebody right there next to you. So love it in all facets. I agree. I think it's the perfect signing, and hopefully it pans out like we all think it will. So I talked about Highsmith kind of being at the beginning stages of his career and kind of still finding his footing. We already talked about Melvin Ingram being that accomplished veteran over 30 years old. He's done so much in the NFL. He's made his money. Another guy looking to make his money, Pittsburgh Steelers outside linebacker TJ Watt, according to Albert Breer, is set to have some of his bank account commas grow. You can see here in the tweet, the Steelers are taking a swing at getting TJ Watt extended before the season starts. If I had to guess, I think it gets done because it's far and away the biggest piece of business they've got this summer.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
We've heard whispers of the, not even whispers, it's like people yelling into a microphone about Watt getting, you know, a potential extension with the Steelers. We haven't seen it all offseason. It did take the organization a little bit to get going in the cap space department. But nonetheless, we're here. I think they have about $12 million in cap space right now as we speak. Two questions for you. Number one, do you think a deal gets done before the regular season? And number two, do you have any idea what we might be able to expect?
So I do definitely think a deal gets done, but I think that was pretty much a guarantee. The Steelers love to sign their big guys right before the season, just like Cam Hayward last year, just like guys well before that. That's just what the Steelers do. So I don't think it's huge news to expect TJ Watt to get a contract extension. At no point should anyone have thought, oh, TJ is going to hit the open market. It's not going to happen. The Steelers knew that from the day they drafted him, that he would get a second contract. Did they expect it to be this big? Probably not. But That's what you get. You have probably the best edge rusher in the NFL. You have to pay him, and they know they're going to pay him. He's the leader of the defense. He's a captain. He's only getting better. So at this point, nothing's going to change, and that's not major news that he'll get a contract. The major news will be, like you said, what is the number? Well, the number has got to be right up there with Myles Garrett easily, which is 5 years, $125 million. And Juju Smith-Schuster might have made the best point ever. Give him as much money as you want, $140, $150 million, doesn't matter. And that's the truth. Will that be the number? No. I would say TJ probably gets near 125. I could see him being below, somewhere around 120. I could also easily see him surpassing that number and getting like 130, 135. The big number will be the signing bonus number. Myles Garrett got $100 million fully guaranteed in his contract. The Steelers are not known for that. Will that come about? I don't know yet.
Yeah, it's tough because you know the Steelers are undoubtedly going to make him one of, if not the highest paid players in the league. But the cap situation is a little bit different. And I know the contract extension will probably come and be put into effect, after this year, whenever the salary cap actually jumps up. But just in terms of like signing bonus, yeah, that will be really interesting to see how those numbers kind of configure. The NFL to me has always been a kind of one-up business in terms of contracts. So it's always about becoming the next like highest paid player in the league. And I do think we do see that with TJ Watt. So right now it's the Myles Garrett's contract, like we said, 5 years, $125 million. So that's about what, $20 million annually? 25, excuse me.
25 wow. million.
That was really hard. I dropped out of community college, so don't yell at me.
I break golf clubs. You drop out of community college. This is all Steelers talk, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming. It's been a blast. TJ, is TJ that guy though?
Would you be upset at like $30 million?
No, I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be upset at any number, and I don't think any Steelers fan would. I don't think the Steelers organization would. I think right now their only mindset is get this done, and that's what they should do. They need to get this done before the season starts, obviously, and just let it be over with. You know what I'm saying? You have Alex Highsmith for at least another 2 years, and if you sign TJ now, you don't have to worry about that for the next 2 years. You know what I'm saying? So the Steelers need to get it done. I don't think that they really care what that number is. But at the same time, I don't think TJ is the guy that's going to walk in there and say, I need to be the highest paid edge rusher in the NFL. I think he could say, hey, you know, I would like to be the highest paid edge rusher in the NFL. And I think the Steelers would say, yeah, let's work on that. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if it turns out where he's below Myles Garrett. People might be freaking out about that, but that's just the guy TJ is.
Yeah, and I don't think people should be freaking out about it, even if that contract is right along the lines of what Myles Garrett got, which can confirm 5 years, $125 million, is in fact $25 million a year. I don't think people can complain about that. I don't think TJ can complain about that. Dude can buy whatever he wants for the rest of his life. His kids probably could as well.
He's going to have a great wedding.
You also have to remember, TJ Watt does have an agent, and an agent does get a pretty nice chunk of change from whatever TJ is going to get. So I think his agent is going to push for a lot of the things we just talked about. Another thing we need to remember too is that Minkah Fitzpatrick is also going to want an extension probably next offseason as well. So we got to save a little bit of dough for Minkah as well.
Yeah, and that's what I mean with the whole TJ thing is the Steelers are going to lay that out. They're going to say very blatantly, hey, look at TJ. And they probably already have. There's no way these contract conversations haven't been going on for a year. So at this point, he knows, you know, Minkah's a guy that you need around just as much as you need TJ around because they make the defense. The year after that or 2 years after that, you're going to have to re-sign Devin Bush. You know, you have these guys that need contract extensions in the next couple of years, and TJ understands that. I don't think TJ is the guy that's saying, hey, pay me $1 billion so that we can't win a Super Bowl. The Steelers have never, ever, ever handed out a TJ Watt contract, and they've won as many Super Bowls as any team out there. And I'm not pulling the whole, you know, six Lombardi things. And I guess I take that back, as many Super Bowls as anybody but Tom Brady. But the Steelers know how to do this, and they're going to make that very clear to him. Hey, you know, we want you here forever. You want to be here forever. We want you to be the centerpiece of this defense. But at the same time, we have to keep this defense relevant long enough to win more Super Bowls. So I think TJ knows that. I think they know that. And that's definitely something that I think both sides understand.
And I think those are the two major things guys look for in like their ideal NFL career. Number one, making their money. Mm-hmm. Number two, at least, at the very least, being competitive for a Super Bowl. And I think the Steelers would be very smart to lay that out to TJ if they haven't already. Hey, man, like, you're going to get paid. Like, there's no question about it. Like, bro, if you want guac at Chipotle, you can get it. Like, trust me. Like, you'll be cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to go out and hold a Lombardi trophy and be remembered for that, you know, during your career, we got to keep some other pieces around here. And those other pieces are going to want to be paid, not quite on the TJ Watt level, but they're going to want to be paid, you know, properly for their services. So, no, mm-hmm. I think you're exactly right. And like you said, I'm sure this isn't anything foreign for TJ Watt, his agent, or, you know, the Steelers representative trying to get this deal done. But at the end of the day, these are all things you do need to consider.
Yeah, definitely. And I think what's good for TJ Watt and the Steelers is that they don't really have a boatload of those contracts. You know, they have a couple of years before Devin Bush is up. Minka's a big one. Terrell Edmonds is probably one that's going to get done, but that won't be as expensive. But besides that, Cam Sutton's re-signed. Joe Hayden is very – we don't know if he's going to stick around or not. You know, Cam Hayward is inked. Stephon Tuitt is inked. Tyson Alulu is inked. They have a couple years before this defense starts to fall apart because of contracts. So as long as they keep TJ, it should honestly work out for at least the next 2 years.
But, like, here's the thing. Even if Watt hits, like, crazy lottery numbers – the salary cap doesn't exist. Like, if they need to create money, they can do it. That's like,
oh yeah.
I don't understand. The Chiefs signed Patrick Mahomes to a 10-year, $500 million deal and then went out and got like two or three other big key pieces to go make a Super Bowl run.
Yep, right after the salary cap
exists. If you need to make money, there's ways around it. And hint for anybody who doesn't follow the Steelers are some of the best to do it.
Yep. They love doing it. The Steelers will never, ever, ever. I mean, look at this offseason. They turned an offseason where they could not retain literally anyone. People walked into this offseason like they're losing every single person they have. And they did. And then somehow created enough cap space to have $12 million right now in July after they signed Trey Turner, Melvin Ingram, re-signed Cam Sutton, brought back Vince Williams, which, like, I get, like, you know, he retired, so that added to the $12 million, but still, they brought him back. Brought back Robert Spillane, signed Zach Banner to a new deal, went out and brought Juju back on $8 million. What did they do wrong? Like, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a prime – Patrick Mahomes is the example. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are a prime example that the salary cap is a myth, and they know better than anybody how to work around it. So they'll be fine. If they can sign TJ Watt to the moon, that'd be fine.
Especially in a year where it's going to skyrocket back up because behinds are going to be in the stands, and that's going to create a bunch more revenue as well. There's no way the Steelers can possibly let both Minka and TJ Watt go, except for the fact that if both of those guys demand like $60 million a year, and even if that, I'm sure they could work something.
That's what I'm saying. At that point, like, just, you know, just give it to them. Like, it's the best safety and the best outside linebacker in the NFL. Both of them are very good team oriented players. So the Steelers lucked out, and whether that's the Steelers culture or just the fact that they just got lucky, I don't know. But the Steelers are somehow going to be the only team who's capable of retaining these two for years to come.
And let's not forget, both of these guys are in their primes as well.
25 and 23.
Both of those guys are still on their first like contracts, man. It's crazy. Yep.
That's what I'm saying. So they're and that's most times you run into that when there's two guys. I mean, Juju's a prime example of this. Juju's not sticking around in Pittsburgh because Juju wants his money. And I understand that. This is a business. Go get your money. But the Steelers are going to be able to work this out where guys like Juju are going to leave, but TJ and Minka, they're not going anywhere because they understand we need to ride that line, and we'll win some Super Bowls, maybe, but we'll at bare minimum win plenty of games when we ride that line well enough.
Most definitely. At bare minimum, I do think everybody should follow our YouTube page, like and subscribe. All Steelers Talk. Follow us on Twitter at @SI_Steelers. Find our respective Twitter names in the names below. Noah, I hope I'm pointing in the right direction. There we go. Give us a like on Facebook, All Steelers. Noah, it's been another wonderful episode of All Steelers Talk. Thank you guys so much for listening, reading everything that we do, and we will see you next time.
In business, it's never just another day. Every day is the day. It could bring your biggest order yet or a new cyber threat. Whatever the day holds, with Comcast Business, you'll be prepared. With a network that can deliver gig speeds to most businesses, Comcast Business Security Edge to help protect your connected devices, and a dedicated team available 24/7. Every day in business is a big day. We'll keep you ready for what's next. Comcast Business, powering possibilities. This isn't just any day, it's the day. The day you welcome new people to your team or welcome an idea that changes everything. Wherever your day takes you, Comcast Business can help. With a network that can deliver gig speeds to most businesses, Comcast Business Security Edge to help protect your connected devices and expert support 24/7. Every day in business is a big day. Comcast Business will keep you ready for what's next. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.